Next on Radio St. Pete, a visit to the Catalyst Studios with St. Pete Catalyst Managing Editor Megan Holmes.
Joining me in the Catalyst Studio today is Commissioner Ward Fritzlowski of St. Pete Beach. He is also the president of the Harvard Jolly Architecture Firm. I'm just interested, first of all, like how you got into running for elected office in the first place. What kind of drove you to do that or become a city commissioner or mayor? What were you before you were mayor?
City commissioner. And vice mayor. So it started out where I always thought that once I was able to get out of college, that was kind of, you know, a primary goal. And I was working, going to school, so there was no time really for anything else. And then after I did that, I had to work towards becoming an architect. So you have to do an intern development program, and then you have to study for a test, which is a 4-day long test, a national test. But I always knew once I got done with that part of it, I was going to have time like I'd never had before in my life. And I always thought being involved in the community, and I wasn't sure what was going to be the best way to do it. So I got involved in, you know, chamber things. I got involved in our professional association, American Institute of Architects. I worked my way up through the ranks where I was president of our local professional organization. And I learned a lot there, leadership skills and things like that. And we used to invite the mayor, and at that time, the city manager of St. Pete, there was a city manager, former government. And we used to have guest speakers. And so I got myself involved in that. And then there was the opportunity for a new board in St. Pete Beach called the Historic Preservation Board. You know, we have the Don Cesar, and we've got Pasa Grill, and there's history there. But there was no formal board like there had been in the city of St. Petersburg. So the city commission at that time was forming a board, and I saw the announcement. And typically, they're looking for architects for those kinds of boards. So I said to my colleagues and the principals at the time at Harvard Jolly, I'd like to do that. And they were all for it. They're really big on, you know, doing community service things. So I did that. And when I first got on that board, I was by far the youngest person on that board. And it was a new board, so we didn't even have a chair or a vice chair. And then before I knew it, I was a little overwhelmed because I saw people that Frank Hurley and other people that have been kind of pillars of the community, and someone made a motion for me to be the chair, and then it got seconded before I could even do anything. So before I knew it, now I'm the chair of this board, and then I had to report to the city commission because they were concerned. They wanted to value historic preservation, but they were also concerned about private property rights and how do you balance all those things. So they had the chair, it was me, reporting to the commission once a month. So I had to go to the city commission meetings and report to them. And so I got to see more of the inner workings of the city commission. And then a little less than 2 years later, my city commissioner was going to run for the mayor spot. So I never thought about running for elected office. It really wasn't even anything I had even contemplated. But I was smart enough to know at that time, if you were ever going to run, which I was getting more intrigued in, was run when you're not running against an incumbent. So, you know, I said to my wife, and she was okay with it. And I said to my partners at Harvard Jolly, right away, they were like, yeah, this would be good to do. So that's kind of how I got involved. And I really thought it would be a 2-year commitment. I remember thinking, okay, it's 2 evening meetings. There's some, you know, workshops and things like that, but shouldn't be that difficult to do. But I liked it, and 2 years became 4 years, 6. And then once a year, we elect the vice mayor among ourselves. And the mayor at that time wanted me to be vice mayor. So he made the motion that next year. So first year as a city commissioner, next year I was vice mayor. Then I was vice mayor for 5 years in a row. And then at that time, the mayor said to me, I'm not running next year. You need to start thinking about running for mayor. So it wasn't really a planned thing. It just kind of happened sort of organically. But I think it was good that it happened that way, a kind of more sincere, you know, organic way of it happening than this kind of planned out thing. I never consider myself a politician. I really kind of don't like that because the connotation isn't always good with politicians. In fact, I joke with people because when they normally say, so what do? I say, I'm an architect. And normally say, oh, you're an architect. And I think that. And then you say, well, you're a politician. So you're at both spectrums, you know. So,
You're a politician.
Yeah. So,
okay.
But yeah, so it was kind of an odd way of coming about it.
So from there, after you were elected, you were in, you know, the bull economy. Everything was going up from 2000 to 2008. Right when you left is when everything kind of crashed. Like, what was that like for you to be mayor? How did you see St. Pete Beach change? And then, like, what happened after?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I was in it during the good times, fortunately, because we have March elections. So I was out in March of 2008. you were just seeing the signs of the economy going down. So unfortunately, the mayor right after me had a much tougher time than I had. And like everybody else, I mean, everybody had to tighten their belt, had to make changes that you didn't really want to make. But one of the things that made it a little bit easier for me to go out in 2008, because I was so passionate about it, and it was in a way difficult to let it go, but I had made my mind up. I really believe nothing against people, politicians that run for their all their lives. I really have a true respect for people that run for office because it's a lot easier to just criticize and not do anything about it than get into it. So I don't want this to sound disrespectful about anybody who has a career as a politician, but that's not my career. My career is as an architect. And in a way that's better for me because I always try to do the right thing for our city. And wherever the chips fall as an elected official, I was okay with that. And I would say to people, you know, we may disagree on this issue, and I hope that, you know, in the next election, you don't look at the sole issue. You look at the totality of what I do. But if I don't get elected again, I'm okay with that because I feel like I'm going to do the best that I can do, which might not necessarily be for me. And sometimes, you know, politicians take a fall because really trying to do the right thing, you know, for their city or county or state or country, whatever it is. And I respect those people that aren't really looking at the next election. They're looking more at doing the right thing. And I've always done it that way. So that's kind of made it easier for me. Plus, we don't get paid much. It's not like there's a big salary out right. there. I mean, actually, I joke with people, it actually costs more to run an election than it does for your whole term of what you're getting paid. So it's not the money that's driving it.
Right. So in your role as both city commissioner and as part of the Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges that our area is facing right now?
Boy, there's a whole myriad of them. That's why I like being on Tempe Regional Planning Council. I was fortunate to be on it from 97 to 2008 when I kind of first retired from political office. And then when I had the opportunity, because only one of us from St. Pete Beach can serve as that, and I told him I'd like to do that, only because it gives you the big, broad perspective of everything going on in the region. And being trained as an architect, we try to be big thinkers, you know, look at the big picture. You also got to look at details, but we're kind of trained to be, you know, broad thinkers. And so what I like about Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council, it really covers, in not any particular order, it looks at everything from the economy to transportation to the environment. And, you know, there are all challenges. And I think it's the kind of thing that you have to keep an eye out for all the time with all of them. So it's whether, you know, you're thinking about the regional transportation systems or the health of Tampa Bay. Because when you have different entities looking at it, they're looking at it more from their smaller perspective. And these are all linked together. Like, who is responsible for the health of the waters of Tampa Bay? You know, we need to all be. And that's what Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council does. So I don't really prioritize one over the other because I think they're all important.
Do you see any issues that are making particular headway or things that you're particularly passionate about that you are kind of driving solutions on? Or
pretty much all of the ones that we talked about. I mean, we do all kinds of things. Just recently, our last meeting for Tampa Regional Planning Council, which is typically at our offices in Pinellas Park, we decided to have it at Tampa International Airport because we wanted to go to the airport and look at their long-term plans and look at their more recent development they've done. So, you know, we're always looking at all kinds of things, you know, economic drivers, but we're also looking a lot at transportation issues, Tampa Bay, the health of Tampa Bay. A lot of people don't realize that the health of Tampa Bay is actually better now than it ever has been since development occurred in the 50s.
I didn't know that.
The seagrasses are better than ever. I hear people throw things out like, well, it's terrible, and it's actually in pretty good shape, and it's getting better. But we can't ever take our eye off the ball. You got to keep on thinking about things, especially when you see, you know, these issues of fertilizer pollution and things like that. So, you know, you don't ever want to turn back. But there was a lot of disruption back in the 50s when there was really a big boom area after World War II. Everybody wanted to kind of come to Florida and all the seawalls were being built. So it's the dredge and fill. And there was a point in time where it's probably a good idea. They said, okay, enough of that. But since then, there's been a lot of people looking out for the health of Tampa Bay, and it's generally in good shape. And so we get the facts and the studies that show all of that. So there's not that guessing involved. Plus, you know, it's kind of interesting to me to kind of see and hear all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we're looking at ports, we're looking at transportation, we're looking at a lot of different things. And we try and be the convener of the region because we don't solve everything. But what we try and do is we are the one organization that's bringing everyone together. So we have a representative of each one of the county commissions is a representative. So Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council is comprised of Pinellas, Hillsborough, Pasco, Manatee County, Hernando County, and Citrus County. So there is one representative from every county commissioner, and every county commissioner is a commissioner, and it is a representative of every city.
And there's a lot of cities. That's,
yeah.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big group. Yeah. There's about 30 of us.
Okay.
And then 2/3 of us are elected officials and 1/3 are gubernatorial appointees. So the governor appoints about 1/3 of the group. So there's a good cross range of people. And that's the biggest thing is we say we're a convener of the region. So if there is a discussion on these issues, we like to bring everybody together to discuss, okay, how are we going to deal with it? What's in the best interest of the region, not particularly your city or your county?
So how do you kind of toggle between those two perspectives, right? You wear your hat as a city commissioner.
Yes.
And then you wear your hat as Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council. How do those two things work together? And is there ever, I mean, I assume there is some conflict sometimes in those two roles.
Yeah. Well, I try and make it clear when I'm a city commissioner, I'm a city commissioner. When I'm a Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council member, I'm a member who happens to represent St. Pete Beach, but I should be thinking regionally and not thinking parochially about St. Pete Beach. Fortunately, there really hasn't been any conflicts. I mean, there is, I guess, always potentially something for that to come up, but.
So, for example, like BRT, is that a time where you feel like maybe the interests of the region and the interests of St. Pete Beach conflict a little bit?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, but we don't talk about that at the Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council because that's not regional enough.
Sure.
That's really tying St. Pete and St. Pete Beach together through South Pasadena.
But eventually it's supposed to be a whole network,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's this like is the first step.
This is the first step. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought that up because there has been a lot of pushback in our community from citizens and from my own colleagues. And I'd like to think I was one of the ones who said, let's not just say no to this. Let's find a way of making this happen because I think there are a lot of great things going on in St. Pete and obviously a lot of great things going on in St. Pete Beach. And having the two tied together some way, I think is good. Given that framework, we ought to find a way of making this work. And so it would have been kind of easy politically if you would have just listened to our citizens to just say no to BRT. Frankly, I'll tell you the reason why. PSTA, the system, we see it running up and down our beaches all the time. We have 3 buses an hour, so there's a bus every 20 minutes. If you go and ride that bus, there's hardly anybody riding the bus. It really is not being well utilized. And ours is one of the better ridership ones. So there are issues right now with PSTA and the ridership. And then what happened was PSTA through BRT wasn't giving us a lot of details. And once citizens found out that they were going to bring 4 more buses an hour, one every 15 minutes, so they're saying, okay, we have 3 buses an hour without people. Why are you going to bring 7 buses an hour without people? And so there was major pushback on the resident level. And probably I got more, not only phone calls, emails, but just people bumping into you. You live in a small town. A lot of people see all the time. My own neighbors. Neighbors I have don't really talk to me much about city affairs. We're all saying to me, this is not a good thing. You know, it's stopping for the bus. The bus is actually clogging up traffic. And we have people like one of my neighbors who lives probably 5 houses down from me. He's retired. So he's been riding the bus all over. And he's given me counts of how few people there are in the bus. And he's saying so. But we're going to find a way of making it work. You know, at first we said, why don't you take every 3rd bus and make it an express bus? So you kind of turn it into a BRT. So there are different ideas out there as to how to make it work. I'm confident we can make it work. You know, maybe we accept BRT and then we pull back on our regular bus system. So there's always a solution I've found out there. You got to be willing to listen, allow everybody to speak and come up with a good solution. So we're working on that. But I understand it's a regional issue. I would like to see transportation work. It's not as easy as a lot of people think. You know, we still don't have the critical mass of people. And I think some people don't understand that all transportation systems are subsidized, even in the biggest cities like New York City, it's still a subsidized system. But there is a link between planning and transportation that I think has been missed for many, many years. And I've heard the more recent discussion of St. Pete is looking at where the stops are, making them potential for development zones, development areas. And so that's a good way of thinking because, you know, for the people that don't need two cars in a family or maybe don't need any cars, you know, if you can get around from where you live, work, and play without a car, that makes sense. But then in order to do that, you've got to live within walking distance of a transportation hub. Mm-hmm. I did an internship while I was in college in New York City, and I lived in Queens and traveled to Manhattan. And it was fun. I actually liked it. Mm-hmm. Walk to the subway, you know, get on the subway, transfer once and go uptown, Upper East Side. And so I like that part of it. In fact, I had a car, but I couldn't even use a car in New York City because you couldn't park any place.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're going to grow. The Tampa Bay area is growing. St. Pete's going to grow. It's like people that say we're built out. It's not built out. You know, there's always room for growth and better density. In fact, it's been one of the biggest issues in St. Pete Beach is, you know, how do you balance the quality of life and not push overdevelopment? So I'm very sensitive about, you know, the balance between keeping quality of life, but not staying the way that you are, because you can't stay the way you are. Even in St. Pete Beach right now, we need some revitalization in hotels.
Right. And I think that's always a real challenge for any government, especially one that's a peninsula on a peninsula on a peninsula, right? You guys are such a small landmass area. There's only so much development that you can have.
Yeah.
So the redevelopment piece is very important and density is also important.
Right.
But doing it in a smart way, that's got to be a big challenge.
It's a very big challenge. It's probably the biggest challenge I've had. When I was mayor, it was the issues of how do we allow hotels to expand. There's a lot of pushback from residents. A lot of them didn't really understand the plans. They don't. Unfortunately, some people don't take the time to really look into, you know, what the real plans are. And even now with social media and everything else, it's even harder. Once the ball gets rolling in the wrong direction, there's misinformation out there. It's hard to kind of recorrect it. So the whole process of informing the public, involving the public, doing all that is really important to make sure there's buy-in, because otherwise there's pushback.
Right, yeah.
And we had a lot of that with the BRT and PSTA. But, you know, a lot of lessons learned. I think PSTA could have done a better job of communicating things along the way. But we'll get there. You know, it's all a matter of keeping an open mind, communicate, and try and find a solution. I know that, and I've talked to, you know, some of our county commissioners and others, that BRT is important not only because of the link between St. Pete and St. Pete Beach, but it'll be the first one in Tampa Bay area. And so it has to be successful in order to think about doing the next one, next one, next one, eventually building a regional network.
Absolutely. So as far as you said, you know, you don't always agree with your colleagues, but you guys are obviously all working on the same problems towards the same solutions. How do you see governing on a local level as different than governing on like a national or state level? Is it easier to work on problems because you're able to build more consensus?
Yeah.
How does that process look for you?
You know, one of the things I learned early on when, before I was in office, the commissioner before me, as I watched all the meetings, there were a lot of 4-1 votes and he was on the downside of the 4-1 votes. And I remember going to him after a meeting one day and saying, you know, it's always a 4-1 vote. And he was so proud of kind of holding to his passion or his idealism or whatever it was that was making him vote that way. And I said to him, yeah, but you're not getting anything accomplished. I mean, if you don't do that. And he just kind of shrugged it off. So when I got in office, that was a good lesson learned. And I think just my style, I try and collaborate with people, but I'm smart enough to count votes. So when you have 5 people, you might have a great idea. It's going nowhere unless you convince 2 of your colleagues that it's also a good idea. And the best way to do that is show respect with your colleagues from the very beginning. You don't always get a lot of respect in politics, as you see sometimes. People like to fight each other. You know, I'll have a viewpoint and I'll make my viewpoint clear, but I don't need to criticize you or demean you or say names to you. So that's not my style. So I've always built consensus over time. And that's how I was elected vice mayor 5 years in a row, is you have to be elected among your own colleagues. So it's kind of a nice thing to be elected 5 years in a row as vice mayor. So that I learned. The other thing at local politics is you don't have party politics. And that makes a big difference. So we don't have the influence of parties. I don't have anybody telling me how to vote. I don't have anybody telling me as to whether they're going to support me, you know, from one party to the other, from election to election. I really like that. Unfortunately, it's only municipal elections and school board elections that are nonpartisan. Everything else, when you get up to the other levels, is party politics. And there's more money influence. It takes more money to run for office. So yeah, there's all kinds of things that make it more challenging for an elected official. So that's why I kind of like it at the local level. People ask me every once in a while, are you going to run for the county commission or a state representative? And you know, I've learned to never say never because you never know. But I really kind of like it at the local level because I could also do my profession.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
St. Pete Beach City Commissioner Ward Fritzlowski and President of Harvard Jolly Architects in the Catalyst Studio with St. Pete Catalyst Managing Editor Megan Holmes.